Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
One of the things that makes a church distinct from other social organizations or civic organizations or clubs is our central focus on the thing that propels us. What is our motivation? What is the thing that constantly moves us forward? It is our faith that God is in us, working through us to make life better. That we are being propelled, not by some wishful thinking, hoping that somehow things will miraculously work out, but having that central confidence that through the cross, God has already done a miracle work, and we get to participate in it. He invites us to be a part of that journey, that process. And so we've been talking about how do we grow that faith, not just so that it is part of what we do Sunday morning, and we kind of come in, we kind of get our fix, and then we go home, but it's something that becomes part of who we are. It transforms us. And we've talked about several keys that will catalyze people that have that deep, profound sense of faith, something that makes their life completely different. We said, first of all, they need to know that faith is relevant, that what God has done in the past, He's doing today, even where you are, even in Wall Street and in New York and here in Williamstown and Marietta, He is doing the same good work. And so we talked about having practical Bible teaching that shows that what God is doing and the story of our lives is really relevant to the stories that are playing out in the newspaper and on CNN. We talked about providential relationships, those relationships that nurtured us, that kind of propelled us into a different realm and gave us the courage to step out and to try some things on our own. People that believed in us and encouraged us to believe in ourselves. But there came a point where it had to become real to you. And you had to take some ownership. You can't just constantly feed at the trough as it is, or as the children. There comes a point in your own adult life where you have to take ownership, whether through some private disciplines of just saying, you know, then I started to pray on my own. I just began to feel, you know, maybe you pulled up to a stoplight or something and you just wanted to say, thank you for this day, oh God. Or maybe on your very own, you began to open up the Bible and just began to read and discovered some new things that God was showing. You begin to take ownership. But eventually, that ownership begins to grow, and there's something stirring. Like Jesus said, when you scatter seeds, there comes a point where that seed just wants to start bursting out, wants to have those little sprouts begin. And so we take on a personal ministry. Something that touches our heart, and we said, I just felt called to that. We begin to grow. We begin to see how that faith is translated into action. It becomes our personal ministry. But if you've ever been, especially in this part of the country, where a windstorm comes through, you'll find that there are a number of trees that look beautiful and big and strong, but when a windstorm comes through, they become tested. How deep are their roots? We can grow big and strong at a very shallow level without having many roots. But whenever the tests come, and we as adults know that inevitably they will come, they're going to come. The weather is going to change. It's not always going to be a beautiful sunny day like today. There will be storms that come through. How deep are our roots? How deep can we go? And so we've been talking about faith in terms of that thing that will make us strong, but also something that will last. We've talked about faith that is a truth that we live by, not a crutch that we lean on. Think about it this way. How many people do you know that use their relationship to God as a crutch. Well, when bad things happen, they say, God, why did this happen? What's going on? But they never seek the deeper answers. It is a crutch to lean on. God will be there. Somebody once said that we treat our relationship to God like a parachute. We want to know that he's there. We just never hope we have to use him. And so there comes a point where we have to go even deeper. And so this morning we want to think about having that confidence that can weather any storm. I love this quote by Emerson. Emerson said, all I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen. It's the experiences of life that demonstrate that even in the midst of the storm, when you can't see where land is, you don't even know if there's a lighthouse out there, you've experienced it, you've survived it, you've grown through it, so that when you have those experiences, you know that God is still with you. Because you've gone through them, you've learned through the struggles of life, you are a better person. The people that you will admire the most for their faith and their depth of you know, the serenity that surrounds them are usually the people that have struggled the hardest in life. They've struggled through, they've persevered, and they have a calm, quiet serenity about their life that says, in the midst of the storm, God is still there. So this morning we want to talk about the fourth and the final part of, or the fifth part of our, what will make your faith strong. And those are those pivotal circumstances. Those pivotal circumstances that will challenge who you are and will encourage you to go deeper in your faith and draw the very best out of you. Our story this morning comes from Mark's gospel, the story of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee and how Jesus comes to them on the Sea of Galilee and how it shapes their identity and who they are and how they perceive themselves in the future. Will you join with me as we center our lives on what God is doing by sharing what is on the screen? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe he has a purpose for my life. Reading from Mark's gospel, Mark writes the following. Now, this comes right after the story of the feeding of the 5,000. All right, now, I want to kind of put this in context a little bit. After the feeding of the 5,000, now it says feeding of the 5,000, usually it counted men. And so we can assume that there were women and children along with that. So this is the first Jesus' crusade. He's having an open-air preaching environment, and there are probably maybe in the order of somewhere between 15 and 20,000 people. And they're hungry. And the disciples say, we don't know what to do. And Jesus said, what have you got? Let's see what you got. Give me the best that you've got. And he feeds all of these people, and they picked up basketfuls. All right? So they've got to be feeling really good. They're saying, you know, look at what Jesus is able to do with this crowd. And then comes the test. Now, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And leaving them, he went up on the mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and he said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. He climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down and they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you sometimes help us to see a side of our faith that we didn't know existed. Help us this morning to embrace what you're calling us to do and to be. Through Jesus' name, amen. So why does Jesus taking this moment? Immediately following this amazing miracle, a feeding of 5,000 or 15,000 people with just a couple of loaves, he says, I want you to go into the boat by yourself. And the Gospel of Mark kind of puts it, he kind of glosses over it. He said, they were straining at the oars because the wind was against them, which is a very polite way of saying they were in the middle of the storm and they were terrified. And at that moment, Jesus is on land, and Mark wants you to know that there's this sense of distance. Jesus knows what they're doing. He knows where they are. But sometimes don't we feel like we don't know where God is? We feel alone, and we feel isolated. Maybe there's a tragedy that is happening, and it becomes a pivotal moment, something that can either propel you into the future or pull you back. Something that will invite you to see a different side of who God is. And our expectations come tumbling down, and we experience more of what God is doing. The first thing that we learn out of this passage that we find is that when we come to the limits of our strength and our control and our ability, trials will invite trust. They will invite trust. I thought about this for a long time this week, and I thought, you know, do trials create trust? And the answer is no. They invite it. What trials will do is they will reveal what is on the inside. And what will often happen in the midst of a trial is people will either fall away. It becomes a pivotal moment. Your faith will either crumble because you've come to the realization that in your boat, God is not interested in your problem, doesn't know where you are, and has no solution to offer. And I've seen many people, whether it's at the hospital or whether it's after a medical test, say, you know, God doesn't care about me anymore. Trials invite trust. They invite you to embrace what you know up here in your head, but it hasn't really seeped into the depths of your heart. We're talking this morning about setting down roots, about putting down roots. And I wanted you to think about what Jesus says. Look at what Jesus says to him when he goes out into the boat. They're terrified. They're saying they are terrified. And I thought about this week, and I thought about, have you ever had a time, mothers, when a child will come up and they're just, maybe they scratch their knee. And maybe there's some blood. And for whatever reason, they think that their life is going to end, that all of their blood is going to leak out onto the floor. And they're terrified. The sight of blood just sends them over a cliff, and they're almost fanatical. And what is mothers, you almost even hear this in their own, you know, the way mothers phrase this. Calm down. It's okay. I'm here. Have you ever heard that even in your own life? That mothers take on that role of Jesus in that moment? Calm down. Take courage. It's going to be okay. I'm here. I knew my mom was here, so I'm going to have to tell this story. The only thing I'm not going to make her do is stand up. I don't know if there. Do you ever have, when you're growing up, there are little images from your childhood. You don't remember everything, but you remember little images, just little things. And this is one of those images that I have in the back of my mind. It's a good one, so don't start sweating palms or anything like that. When I was little, and I remember this for whatever reason, I remember it distinctly. When I was little, I was terrified of fireworks. You know, just the explosions, you know, just the boom, boom, boom. And I remember, I believe, when we lived in Milheim, I was terrified. And they were going off, and everybody was having a great time. But I thought, you know, when I was really little, I thought the world was coming to an end. Because it was so loud and so, you know, just so amazingly loud. And so I ran into the bed, and I'm just like covered on the bed, just, you know, just almost shaking violently because the world as I knew it was coming to an end. I'd never experienced anything like this before. And I remember that image of mom coming in and just kind of really just laying there right next to you, almost saying this. That's where this phrase came from. Calm down. It's okay. I'm here. And I thought about that, and I said, that invites that level of trust. I mean, think about how that calms our troubled spirits. And that's what God is offering to you. When we go through a trial, it invites that level of trust. We sometimes go through moments where we just can't quite get our bearings, and what God just wants to say, calm down. It's okay. I'm here. And think about how powerful that is. I don't know how this will all play out. I don't know how much longer the fireworks are going to go on. But it's okay. I'm here. It develops the depth of trust. When you go through times of trial and tribulation, things that we don't really like to talk about, we don't encourage, and yet it causes us a depth of trust we would not have any other way. A faith that has not been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. If it hasn't been tested, if it hasn't been pushed, then you don't know that it's really there. The first thing that happens is trials invite trust. The second thing that happens out of this is that trials invite growth. Right? Growth. In Mark's gospel, this is the only time that we really hear about Jesus walking on the water. And as a result of this, the disciples understand something about Jesus that they didn't understand before. That in the midst of almost a no-win solution, they're out in the middle of the lake and Jesus is on the land. There's no way he can help me. There's no solution I can envision. Until he walks on the water. He said, I never thought of that. I didn't know he could do that. I know that the world is full of pain and suffering. But I love this image. But it's also filled with people that are overcoming it. Why do you think we lit these candles? Of course there's malaria in the world. I don't know why. Maybe we want to ask God someday why he made those little mosquitoes. I don't know why. There is suffering, but there are also people that are part of overcoming it, and you're part of that miracle. If you take nothing else away from today, part of Mother's Day, you are part of the miracle that God is revealing. That's what you have become part of, and it's part of your growth process. You, through pain and suffering, learn a different side of who you are and a different side of who God is. It invites growth. It invites the challenge to grow even deeper. And finally, it invites maturity. It invites maturity to reveal what's really there. I love this passage from James chapter 1. You know that under pressure, your faith is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try and get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you may become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. It reveals itself. It shows. I began the preparation of saying, as we go through different stages in our life, we need to be propelled into a different level of maturity. Think about children that are caught in the system of adolescence. As kids enter a season of adolescence, they begin to experience their independence. I can do anything. I am invincible. I am immortal. There's nothing that I can't do. And sometimes you even know adults that got caught in that. Whether it's through their wealth or through their power or through privilege, there is nothing that I can't do. There is nothing that I can't achieve. There is nothing that I can't win. Trials create a sense of humility about the limits of our power, about what we can really achieve. It makes us mature. As adults, we become more long-term thinking. We begin to see that life is sometimes tempered. We understand, even mentally, but maybe not in our soul, that trials do come. That's part of the life that we live. That's part of this journey, this sacred journey that we're all on. And yet it's only through the trials that it becomes real, becomes mature. And if we know that they're coming, how do we prepare for it? How do we grow understanding what's coming, what God has in store for us? The other thing that I would say about church environment is church is for people that are mature about what life is really about. Undeceived, to see it in its true light, in its true character, its true colors. To make the decisions about what life is all about. I saw a quote the other day that really stuck in my mind. It said that in the darkness, if we live in darkness, there are no choices to be made because everything seems to be equally valid. It's only in the light that we see things as they truly are and we can make decisions. And Christ is that light. Christ reveals what is true, what is good, what is holy, what is pleasing, what is gentle, what is lovely. Christ reveals that and offers you a choice. It is a pivotal circumstance that will reveal what is deeper and encourage you to put down those roots. So I want you to think about your faith journey, the depth of your faith. And maybe just think in the back of your mind, if you were to put your image in the image of a tree, are you just a small sapling? You know, just kind of tender, just kind of beginning the growth process? Are you kind of growing? You know, you're getting stronger, but you haven't really put down those roots yet that are going to be able to stand those storms. Or are you like those mighty oak trees that have deep roots that are going to hold themselves and all those around together? Think about these stages. Where do you need some help? Where do you need some growth? Do you need that time of practical Bible teaching? Is that what's kind of lacking? Is there something that's not, it's just not making relevant to my daily life? Are you part of a providential relationship? Are you partnering with others that are encouraging you and inspiring you to take that next step? Have you begun your own private disciplines? Maybe just a little bit, 5 minutes every day, but you begin saying, this is part of who I am. These are my values. This is the kind of person that I want to be. Have you begun to put it into action? It's kind of like having a car and having a tank of gas. At some point, it's really helpful if you put the two together. When you put the two together, practical teaching and private disciplines, you begin to actually go somewhere. You begin to see things in a different way. You begin your own personal ministry, things that really touch your heart, and you see God working through you. And then the struggles come to say, is this really who you are? Or are you doing it for other reasons? Those pivotal circumstances that propel you to a whole new level of understanding life. The greatest disciples in our own generation, if you ever read the biography of Mother Teresa, you know that in her early days, she struggled throughout her life with a sense of failure, a sense of not accomplishing, but she had such a serenity because she persevered through all of those struggles. Nelson Mandela spent how many years, how many decades in prison, persevering in shaping his character. What about you? Do you fall away really easily and just say, well, that's just not for me, it's just not my thing? Or do you engage and say, God is doing a mighty work in my life and through my life? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for those that are struggling, and we pray, oh God, that they would just feel your presence and even see you walking across the water of their own soul in new and exciting ways. Bless us as we continue to grow and share the good good news of this church and of its mission in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.